This is the Oddcast, and you're on the fringe with Elizabeth.
And we're having a small relationship discussion with the wonderful Travel Lucy, travel blogger, entrepreneur, and soon to be interior designer, and Dr. Adam, who has his master's in applied psychology. We were all sitting down and having a discussion. So what you're about to listen to is where I started recording. So it's not quite the entire conversation, but it's just where I happened to press record. So I hope somebody out there finds it helpful.
What new shenanigans can I pull to get what I want? Maybe you should look on the insides and, you know, start yourself out. Maybe then, you know, you'll know what you need to do and you'll feel better about yourself and you won't need anybody. No. I need people to validate my existence and I'm not going to do anything else.
So you're saying Desperate Housewives?
Yeah, Desperate Housewives, I think it's a very insightful program. It touches a lot of subjects I think are relevant to relationships in general, as well as intimate relationships. There's one character in particular that I think I resonate with so well, but she's an ass. Edie. I think her last name is Brit.
Oh.
Yeah, blonde chick.
Yes.
Yeah. I respect her. I mean, I don't necessarily like her, but I respect her because she's one of the few characters that is willing to own that she is not a good person. She's a person and she's authentic.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. As opposed to one of the characters I find particularly annoying, Susan.
Oh my God.
She's grown. She has grown. But I don't like her character.
Yeah.
It's like she's just looking for the next opportunity to shake herself. And I'm like, my girl, deal with your issues, my man. Deal with the issues. You're not doing what I think you should be doing, so I guess I have to sabotage whatever you're trying to make happen. How about no? I don't know.
I find her particularly annoying.
So yeah, this whole people playing each other business. Lies.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, I understand. Men will say that they lie to get women because if they tell them the truth, the women won't give them what they want, which is usually physical stuff. So, you know, but at the same time, they have the nerve to complain that there is no good women. But you lie to them and make them think the relationship is going in a certain direction, so they'll be comfortable enough to give you what, you know, what you really want.
Yeah.
And then you discard them like garbage. You know, they're like, oh, I don't want any tainted people. But then you're the one helping to taint the people. And when those people become damaged from what you've inflicted on them, they go around hurting other people.
Mm. But so that's no longer your problem at that point. Mm. You got what you wanted.
Yeah.
So you can move
on. And women do it too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Women do it too.
Oh, yes.
Put this false thing and say, oh, I'm this type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And then once
I'm not like the other girls.
Yeah, I'm not like the other girls.
And no walls.
No walls.
And they do these things and then once they get the guy, then all of a sudden the crazy part of them come out. And then all of a sudden it's all the man's fault. And then the guy is just like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are you? You know? So it happens both ways. So it goes back to how they probably grew up or the things they internalized from past relationships maybe. So, you know, you just never really know, really.
So
that's why they say you must get to know the person.
Yeah.
I know yourself first. If you don't
exactly
know yourself.
Yeah, true, true.
Exactly.
Know yourself first.
You know.
True. And know what you can accept and can't accept.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you like and what you don't like, it doesn't make sense to find out who the other person is, because if there a red flag comes up, why are you going to know it's a red flag for you in particular if you don't even know what you like?
Yeah.
You know? Something will come up and you say, well, this person likes eggs. Or like the example with the woman, she wants to work and the other person, the person she's in a relationship with, doesn't think she should work. Well, you should know within yourself that you need to be with somebody that is willing to accept that you're working. Because if that's not, if you can recognize for yourself that if the other person has a problem with this and you can't recognize that, okay, this is not going to work, then I think something's wrong with you as well. Because something could be wrong with both of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, self-reflection. Yeah.
And also some people don't know how to meet the other person halfway in a relationship.
Yeah, no, give me everything.
Yeah,
everything.
And they feel like everything is a bed of roses and everything should either be their way or the highway, or, you know, you'll never have troubles in a relationship,
right?
You know?
But that's the other thing, you know, the problem I find is that even they themselves may know that trouble comes in relationships, but they don't understand the type of trouble that means that they need to get out of the situation. They think that when problems come and they're arguing all the time and they're codependent and they're toxic to each other and they're each other's emotional punching bags, it means that
that's
they should
love.
Stick it out no matter what, because love is hard.
That's love,
you know. You need to know when to get out too. It's not about just sticking through thick and thin. You have to know when to, you know, when to get out.
Because if one, as my father says, one hand cannot clap. So
why people try,
but one hand cannot clap. So if you're going through how much months, some people are years of one hand clapping and trying to do it, thinking that I'll just give him another chance, or he'll get it eventually, or he'll get it eventually, or she'll get it eventually. No. If it's been this long and they're not even trying, they don't want to try, because they don't care.
No.
You know what I mean?
They're just giving it, you're just giving yourself military style torture.
But you think, I think for out of it, you know, they might stick it out because they're thinking that if they can fix them, then that means that they are worth loving. Because, like, I'm not worth loving if I can't change somebody else. No, change yourself.
Exactly.
Change yourself and then own that.
Change somebody. Like, people grow all the time. Like, they grow when they're teenagers, when they turn 21 they turn into something else, when they reach 40 they turn into something else, when they reach 60 they turn into something else. Nobody stays the same for the entire lifetime. So why feel like you have the right to change somebody because that's what you want for them?
Because if you can change somebody, that means that you have power, you have control over your destiny. So instead of having to grapple with your own destiny, if you grapple with somebody else's, then that means that you have control over your destiny.
You are now a wizard.
It's a roundabout way about going about it, but yeah, if you can control somebody else, then you win. It's almost like that analogy I always use, in where if you're not smiling, you can't make the reflection smile. People think that they can be frowning, looking at themselves in the mirror, and they can stick their hands into the glass and make it smile. If they can do that, you know,
they win.
They're the ultimate magician at that point.
And that's not how it works. You have to smile if you want your reflection to smile.
Exactly.
So,
and that's that relationships, when you get into relationships with people, the person you get into relationship with is an expression of you as well. Because if you're with somebody that accentuates who you are,
or
your best qualities, if you're in a healthy relationship,
then
it's quite likely that person will act as a reflection for you. So when you're acting out a character, they're going to let you know. And it's not at that point you're going to start shoving your hand through glass and cutting up yourself because, you know, the reflection is showing if you don't want to see. No, it means that there's something you need to adjust. But again, that's if you're in a healthy relationship. Because some people recognize that something about you has changed or something is off with you, and they say, you know what, here's my opportunity to show how wrong this person is and show them how much they need me to keep them in check.
And then sometimes, you know, that change is just a change in themselves, because you have the two types, two ways to look at that, really. Either they're doing something that they really shouldn't be doing, or they really just change as a person just slightly, like some things that they accepted before, like, it's not for them, you know? So, I mean, some people need to realize that all right, so two people in a relationship not gonna grow at the same time. One is gonna grow faster than the other.
Yeah.
But what I guess what holds them together is the respect for each other, to understand each other in where they are, and not try to change them and say, no, you need to go back to how you were. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. This is not the person I married, or blah, 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 blah. When right. really and truly, that's just BS. Like, how you can say something like that?
Mm-hmm. But it makes them feel right, though. It's easy to say that the other person needs to fit that mold that they're accustomed to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not... I think it's one of those stages of thinking or cognition where you think that because something has happened once or something has a trend, it has to stay that way. Nothing can alter it. And I mean, even in psychology, you have those instances where persons have a stable personality, but they inform persons that administer personality tests that you shouldn't be expecting to get stable results if the person has had some traumatic life experience or something life altering. If that happens, then they're not going to be the same person.
Yeah.
And if you can't recognize that, then well, you need help. Mm-hmm. You might need therapy as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Introspection.
And I don't think it applies only to relationships, romantic relationships.
Every relationship, yeah, like platonic.
Yeah, because I can definitely say
right.
the relationship I had with my sister, my brother, my parents is completely different today than it was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, we rarely used to talk. And we used to be awkward with each other and not...
Is the word estranged?
I would say estranged.
Okay.
But not really with my mother.
Okay.
It was like a dip and more so as I got older, we got closer. That's mm-hmm. me and my mother. With my father, not so much. It's more like I kind of had this expectation of what a father should be.
Okay.
And then when after college, the first college I went to, I kind of had this self-reflection of like, oh my god, like how could I do something like that, that is so weird. I'm not a child anymore, so I can't expect him to be this person to me, like mm-hmm. that's not fair.
Right, he missed out on a lot of you growing up.
Yeah.
So
then what I had to really do is forgive that certain things
weren't able to go
my way or even his way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have to reintroduce myself now mm-hmm. as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to get to know me as an adult, and for me to get to know him
mm-hmm.
as the father that I do have.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So now our relationship is so tight.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the same level as me and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It took a long time to get to that point. You
mm-hmm.
see, if I didn't realize that,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't be able to say that about my father right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was even closer to my stepmother than I was mm-hmm. to my father, which was strange, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then even now, I'm closer to my stepmother now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're now seeing me in a different light
mm-hmm.
that they can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, they weren't able to really understand, because you know when you grow up you have different emotional
mm-hmm.
levels and things,
and
I don't see them all the time, so it's like lost in translation somehow.
And you're not necessarily trying to be understood.
No.
You're trying to get them to understand. You need to be what I have in my mind.
Yeah.
You can't be having your own identity. No. Do what I want you to do, and you'll be fine.
Right. And
yeah.
when they realize that, okay, you're really an adult now, because
mm-hmm.
this is a big change now.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one point I didn't talk to my father for a couple years,
mm-hmm.
and this girl was telling me oh my God, you're so lucky to have a father, like what him do. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even tell her a negative thing that he did, and that caused me to really think about it, like, why am I not talking to my father again? Yeah. Oh, he wasn't there in my life, and da da da. And then I was just like, oh, hold on, wait, that's not true. Yeah. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. I saw my father at least 3 times a year for a period of like 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I was like, what is really my problem? He would call me every month, sometimes more.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure I had Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, you know what I mean? He would pay for school and things like that. And when I really look at it, I was just like, oh my God. Like, he was really being a father. It's just that I didn't have that connection with him because I wasn't there.
Right.
So it's like, so people would be like, oh, but you're the child, so you shouldn't be the one to initiate that sort of relationship. But I'm like, but it's important to me, so I have to try. So
yeah,
my mother always said to me, how you treat a person is like you training them to treat how you want to be treated.
Uh-huh.
Right? So if you're standoffish all the time to the person,
yes,
right, they're gonna feel like they're constantly hitting a brick wall. They're gonna feel like, you know, you're being like you don't like them or you're freezing them out. Mm-hmm. So when you change that attitude now towards your parents or your sibling or your whatever, you get a different reaction now, because it's like they're picking up on that nonverbal cue that, okay, she's relaxed now. She trusts me somewhat, so I feel like I can talk to her now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I feel like if people were really to look into themselves more, they could understand the dynamics they have with other people in their family and make it better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that playing out differently outside of the home or outside of the family.
Yeah.
Because that same thing you're talking about, how you treat others tells them how you expect to be treated or how you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
I've had instances where persons have been cold or trying to freeze me out, right? And I'm just being pleasant. And it seemed almost, when I was trying to be pleasant, they would turn up the cold.
Yeah.
And then the second I started reflecting back to them, the cold, they started acting more pleasant. They got warm real quick. Because almost like they're anticipating you're going to be dishonest and disingenuous because you're being pleasant. Like, pleasantries are a lie. So when you start being rude, it's like, oh, yes, oh, so you're actually a human being.
It goes back to what they're used to.
Yep.
It goes back to that. Because if they're used, it's a self-mechanism.
And that comes from trauma. So they're always expecting people to use pleasantries as a way to infiltrate their space and manipulate them. So they'd rather ice you first. And if you can get past that barrier, then they know you're safe or something.
But is that how you get past the barrier? Or you just reflect back to them what they're reflecting out? And I don't even recognize the difference. It's just like, oh wait, this person is acting just like me. They're like a mirror. Oh, a friend. Yeah.
Or more, it's like they sort of respect someone who isn't trying to kiss their rear.
Right, exactly.
Like, if you're willing to ice them out and not be capitulating to them and not try to, you know, beg them to not be mean to you or anything, it means you're being real and you're not afraid to cut them out of your space. So I don't know. It's like a rite of passage type of thing, or a testing ground. It's a litmus test, sort of.
Yeah.
And I think it could be an unhealthy one, but it could, you know, make a relationship stronger if it's done in the proper way.
Yeah.
Like a hazing, sort of.
Yeah, for some, but then for others, it might be a clear indication that those people are not compatible.
Yeah.
So even outside of intimate relationships as well, even if it's just platonic ones. If you don't respond well to people freezing you out and you know how you are about it, then you're just going to keep a distance.
Yeah.
You're not even going to ask them. You're not even going to say, wait.
Because at the end of the day, you know, it just might be that they just don't like you.
Yes.
Or don't care to like you. So just move on.
Yeah.
Leave it alone and move on.
Yeah.
Don't take it to heart, because not everybody's going to like you and be fond of you. You know?
And when you're stonewalled like that repeatedly, I find that I lose a lot of stamina to want to get to know people or get close to them. It can really kill your stamina for that sort of thing.
It's funny. I think in my head that it should kill the energy you have to connect with somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're clearly showing you that they don't want you inside. So it's a brick wall. Don't waste the energy. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think there's a part of me that wants people to like me. I mean, everybody has, you know, they don't want to be hated.
Yeah.
But I think it's a particular issue for me dealing with, where I want to be liked, but I also want to respect my own boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is that I don't just give up and say, well, this person doesn't like me, I'm moving on. No. Let me reflect back what they're reflecting to me first. If even when I do that, they're still being rude, then I'll just leave. But it's like, I feel like I should try that first. I can't just say, well, this person doesn't like me, I guess I'll just move on. No. And I guess it depends on the person too. If the person seems genuine or authentic, or they seem like they have good qualities, I want to connect with that person. Versus somebody that's just rude and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, high school or even college is a good example where people look like they're people that you want to connect with.
And as soon as they start talking
to you,
it's different.
Yeah.
You're just like, whoa,
that's
not what I expected.
I made a clear miscalculation. I'm sorry.
Abort.
But you know what else I noticed too? Like, I remember in college, there's this girl, I'm not gonna mention no names. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we're friends, but we're not close friends like that, but we're friends, you know? But she was hated a lot. And I was like, why do people hate her so much? And when I ask people, all they could tell me is like, oh, she feisty, or oh, she too bougie, or oh, you know, stupid trivial things. And I'm just like, but that makes no sense though, because yeah, she kind of had this hard exterior, but once you kept talking to her, she allowed you to in her space, and she was pleasant. She was always pleasant to me, you know. And I was just like, look at that. Like, sometimes some people just have a natural cold exterior, but once you talk to them, you realize, oh my gosh, we have something in common, or we have interests, or stuff like that. And then you're just like, okay, well, and then, you know, also like some people will be like, okay, let me follow the crowd and hate the person too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And I'm just like, but that makes no sense, because how they are with you, they might not necessarily be with me.
Right.
So I always say, okay, let me learn about this person for myself.
Right.
And if I think it's okay for us to be friends, then we're friends. I really don't care what anybody else says.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But then some people don't take that stance, just because everybody on this side hates them. They're like, okay, let me join the bandwagon so I can be liked by this set of people. And you know, it's a strange, to me, I find it strange, because I'm just like, but then again, not really, because growing up, like, I always had issues finding groups of friends, because I didn't grow up in the same group as them, like going to the same kindergarten or the same prep school. Like, I went to two different prep schools, you know. It's like high school was really where I got real friends and was able to keep them. But the other schools, it was a big problem, because everybody was so into cliques. And then because of how I was raised not to care about how other people see me, and trying to be in the in crowd, just be yourself, and whoever is meant to be your friend will be your friend. I've got some lots of backstabbing and things like that, and I learned my lesson, but it didn't stop me from trying to make friends with other people, you know what I mean? One time I was iced out, like nobody talked to me at school for a whole semester.
Why?
To this day, I can't even tell you. But I think it was really because my mother was a teacher at the school, so
they somehow felt
I
would tell her all their secrets, and then she would go back to the principal and whatever. And I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But the first time it happened, like, I cried the first day, and my mom was like, why do you care? You still have your neighbors who are your good friends, like, you shouldn't care, you know? And I was like, yeah, that's true. And I mean, eventually people started talking to me when they realized that I'm not what people were portraying me to be, because once they talked to me, they realized, oh, she's sweet, oh, she's, oh, okay, cool, you know?
But I'm also wary about people's conduct with others. So even if I don't necessarily know a person well, if I see their conduct to be a certain way and it's not, it lacks integrity or anything like that, it will probably deter me from wanting to get to know them. It depends on the situation, obviously, because I've met people who have certain traits that would be considered taboo or not nice or whatever, but then you get to know them yourself and they're just doing that as a defense mechanism or something like that. Or maybe it's a misconception. But there's some people who you observe, and if I, you know, if I notice that, oh, this person is doing this particular behavior to people, then it kind of puts in your mind to be wary. Like, you need to have discernment of that too.
Red flag. And what I like,
because if they're doing it to them and those people are close to these people, like their family members,
what are they gonna do to you?
What are they gonna do to you?
But I always put it in different categories, like all my friends are in different categories.
You have green, red, orange.
You know, have extreme red means danger, like don't tell them nothing about yourself, it's just a high and by flex. Or other people who are closer to me, where you tell them everything because you trust them, and that trust was built over a number of years, so you feel comfortable with them. Then you have other people who are just like
yellow zone
where you're not really sure, but they're sweet anyway, so you know, you'll hang out with them or whatever. They're still your friends, but it's like, when I tried explaining this to somebody one time, they thought I meant like people in the yellow zone or further away from me are not my friends. I said, no, they're still my friends, because I know if I needed help, they would take the shirt off the back and hand it to me. It's just that maybe we're not compatible personality wise, so you wouldn't see us hanging out all the time, or talking to each other every week or every month or things like that. But we have that foundation where it's just like, yeah, I'm a friend, you know what I mean? But people need to realize you have different categories of friends.
It's not just friend everywhere all the time, no bars, no holds barred.
You have different levels of friends, you know, and that's what people need to realize. It doesn't mean that they hate you or anything, it just means you don't really have that much in common, but you know, you have that respect for each other, where you can,
that was the word that meant to me.
Where you can hang out and you trust them with your life to an extent where you can go out and have no worries, you know what I mean?
You fall asleep, you know you're gonna wake up with all the organs.
You understand?
Short and sweet.
When you have something interesting to talk about, you know, with different perspectives, it's interesting to hear other people's perspective on a topic. Because sometimes, you know, it's not something you might not have necessarily thought of before, and you're like, oh my god, wow, yeah, that's true, you know, the way you think about it,
no echo chambers.
Yeah, that's nice.